Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. God, you know, it's like summer. There's nothing ever to talk about in the summer. Ha! Wow! What a day! What a day! I love sports. I just do. You know? Like, you try and downplay it sometimes to your friends. Like, man, you got a really cool job. Like, yeah, it's you know, it's still a job. I got bosses and it's a place I had to be. And, you know, it's summer in California. It's finally a super warm week. And, you know, and my kids are out of school. And you're like, no, I have the coolest job ever. I'll prove it to you. I went to bed last night wanting to wake up and congratulate myself over pointing out that Kevin Durant, the Slim Reaper, was the best player on earth. And he proved my thoughts to be true. But that's not even the lead story of the day. It might not even be the second. It might be the tertiary NBA story of the day. But might really even be fourth, but I'm gonna find a way to talk about it. There's Stan Van Gundy fired, Scott Brooks fired, Donnie Nelson fired. That's the Mavericks GM. Chris Paul tested positive for COVID. We don't know if that was after the game when he went into the stands and was hugging people, or his COVID game. How about if his last game with the Suns, where he dominated, that's his COVID game, like the flu game from Jordan. Kawhi Leonard's out for the year. Let's start there, actually. Kawhi Leonard has a torn ACL. He's likely out for the rest of the season. I can't see him playing with it partially, fully, whatever. Like, he's out. This is first devastating news because it's like a 1A and 1B in terms of the best players. And they're very, very different in Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard had proven himself to be one of the most incredibly efficient and versatile two-way players in the history of the NBA. And the Clippers had finally seemingly figured out the Jazz, just like they finally seemingly figured out the Mavericks. And we can go back and do the whole butterfly effect thing, where had they completed the blowout in the third quarter, instead of Nick Batum missed a couple wide open threes and the thing got a little closer, and so he was in late when he tweaked his knee. Yeah, we could do that, and how the playoffs would be different. But five games this postseason of 25 points with 65% field goal percentage or better. Only Kareem and Shaq have more such games in one postseason in the shot clock era. That's since 54-55. We know he's a great defender. He's a walking bucket on offense. And it looked like the Clippers were the clear favorite in the West until this news. And it's, you know, the human effect to it. Because here's, when you're truly around a sport, when you know a sport, like Scott Brooks got fired today. I know Scotty really, really well. He's been on my podcast. I'd encourage you to download that All Ball. We have a new one out today. Josh Pastner's on it. I'll go and tweet out the old Scotty Brooks. It was like a two-parter. It was amazing, all the different things. But like, Scotty Brooks get fired, that sucks. But Scotty has, I don't think it's right. He got that team to the playoffs after a terrible start, and they figured it out. And he's the one guy who seems to be able to successfully manage Russell Westbrook. But whatever, you know, Scotty has a lot of money. He coached for a lot of years, and he had a ton of success. And if he wants to get another head coaching job, that'll probably present itself. I know where he lives. I know where you live. He's all right. But like, one of his guys is a close friend of mine, Cameron Sufi, who I've played with from fourth grade on. I played against him at Miles Square Park, and we added him to my travel basketball team. And like, here's a guy who just got married, has a kid, and now he needs to find a job. It's far different, right? It's the overall human effect. And when I bring that up, because I do have, I'm sympathetic towards Kawhi, but he's won championships before, right? With the Raptors and with the Spurs. And my guess would be he's good enough that, let's see what the Clippers do in the next year while he's out for probably the next 7 or 8 months to put themselves back in this position, assuming he re-signs with the Clippers. But it's more the human effect to it. Like, I think Ty Lue's done an amazing job. They're not winning NBA championship. It still should be recognized that Ty Lue has proven himself to be an elite head coach based upon the adjustments that he's been able to make and how he's managed all this stuff. That said, a thought came to my mind. You know, Steve Ballmer bought this club when it was the laughingstock still of the NBA. I mean, look, could I go back to when they played the Sports Arena and outside of the Larry Brown years, you know, they just were a joke, right? They were a joke. But I could go back to other times when they weren't as talented. Okay, when they weren't as talented and say they were at a lower point. They weren't at their lowest point ever, but the perception of the Clippers is, was, and has always been that they're kind of a joke, right? They're the worst run franchise, worst franchise in the NBA. And the Clipper curse used to be that whoever they would draft would either be a complete flop. I mean, go back and look at their draft picks, right? Like in 83, they took Byron Scott, but he got traded to the Lakers, right? In 84, they took Lancaster Gordon, 8th overall. Anybody ever heard of Lancaster Gordon? That's in the 1984 draft. Go back and look at the 84 draft, and what will you see? Akeem Olajuwon, Sam Bowie, obviously, is the biggest washout. That was because of injuries. Jordan, Perkins, Barkley, Melvin Turpin, Alvin Robinson, Lancaster Gordon. Who was taken behind Lancaster Gordon? I don't know. John Stockton was taken later on in that draft, right, who they missed on. I mean, you could even go to Otis Thorpe taken right behind him, or Kevin Willis, or... Jay Humphries, all really good players. Tony Campbell, who played for the Lakers. All of these guys, better players than Lancaster Gordon. That's 84. 84 is Lancaster Gordon. 85 was Benoit Benjamin, 3rd overall. 87, Reggie Williams out of Georgetown went 4th overall. And they took Reggie Williams, and who was behind him? The very next pick, Scottie Pippen. Kevin Johnson. Horace Grant. These are the guys they missed on. Mark Jackson. They took Reggie Williams out of Georgetown. Flops. Danny Manning, they took number 1 overall. He tore his ACL. Danny Ferry went number 2 overall. He got hurt as well. Bo Kimble never amounted to the player he was in college. Leron Elliston, Randy Woods in 92. Right, that was Terry DeHair. He sucked in the pros. If they took him, he was either good somewhere else or he was bad as a Clipper. That was the Clipper curse. But then, of course, you look back to even at the end of Donald Sterling's run when they had a great team and, well, of course, Chris Paul got hurt. Here's what I think happened with Steve Ballmer. And I say this tongue planted firmly in cheek. You ever walk into a house? You ever walk into a house and you're like, I got to buy this house. It's literally everything I could ever want. Honey, how long has this house been on the market? 6 months. It's below market value. I just, all cash offer. We'll take it. Don't you want to look at the disclosures? Like, what's the disclosure? Like, it's in a great neighborhood with a great school system. We'll take it. Like, yeah, but it's been sitting here 6 months. Like, look at the price. We've been waiting for this forever. Money is cheap. We're pre-approved. Let's go. Got to read those disclosures, kids. The last house we owned, it was disclosed, but it was a home that we end up redoing. But the woman had built it with her husband. He ultimately passed away, and then she died. She died in the house. When I was like, you know, she's a very nice lady who we didn't know, but everybody else knew her, said she was a very nice lady. I'll never forget, like 6 months in, my son Hayes said, like, he got scared in the middle of the night. I said, well, like, what's going on? Why are you scared? You've always been a great sleeper. He said, I felt like somebody touched my chest in the middle of the night and woke me up. So we're like, what? I don't know if there's a spirit in the house or not. I don't know. I don't know if there's a spirit in that house, but I do. I believe in spirits. I do. I believe that our souls go somewhere, not just heaven at times after our deaths. And I believe it's at least possible that the spirit touched him, made contact with him in the middle of the night. I don't know. Steve Ballmer paid $1 billion over asking price, but essentially he got a chance to buy the Clippers, who he didn't have he had an arena lease, but he could get out of it and he could go build his own arena. He could move the team if he wanted to move it. It's the Clippers. Like, you can literally do whatever you want. And the moment he put that money down, it was worth even more than he paid, even though he paid well above asking for it, right? It was evaluated like $1.2 billion, and he paid $2.2 billion to buy the Clippers. And they didn't have an arena, and they didn't really have a nice practice facility at the time. But you know what? It was the Clippers, and because the NBA's values have spiked, it's probably worth $3 or $4 billion now. But when you buy a home, kids, you better read the disclosures. Built on an Indian burial ground, hey, something bad happened in the home. Somebody buried in the basement. Like, all of these things. I don't know what happened. I don't believe in curses, except maybe the Clippers. But think about it. Like, the Clippers are, it's the second round of the playoffs. They were down 0-2. They finally figure it out. They're kicking the crap out of the Jazz. The Jazz, they have an injury with Mike Conley still not healthy. And the Clippers, the Lakers lose because of injury and probably a little dysfunction. This is the Clippers' moment. You know, there's no Lakers. We don't know if the Nets will get there because all banged up. Like, the Clippers, I going into last night, the favorite to win the NBA championship. I don't know if they were, I think Vegas, the odds, I think they were, the Nets were still the favorite. I'm not sure, but In anyone's reality, Milwaukee very much walking on eggshells. The Nets, not healthy. The Suns, that's great, but you always feel like the Clippers are better. They were already showing to beat the Jazz. There's nobody else around, you know, 76ers, no. Hawks, no. The Clippers were the favorite to win the championship, and their best player, who turned down the Lakers, who's won two championships and been a finals MVP twice over, the picture of efficiency, is playing the best basketball of his life. And late in a blowout game, he just kind of plants and tweaks his knee a little bit and tears his ACL. I don't know whether there's spirits, an Indian burial ground, a lamb or some animal was sacrificed at some point by one of the previous owners. I don't know. I don't believe in curses. I don't. Except the Clippers. They're quite obviously cursed. Remember, they were in San Diego, right? In San Diego, they put in San Diego. And by the way, my Chargers, who have left San Diego as well, have you noticed what's happened to Derwin James? Derwin James fell to them in the draft, and like, are you kidding me? They finally win 12 games, and they finally get the court. Like, if I'm Justin Herbert, like, never walk underneath the ladder, right? Like, you better get a lucky rabbit's foot, because maybe it's when you left San Diego they were cursed on the way out of town. I don't know. I don't believe in curses, but quite obviously, there is some sort of bad juju there with the LA Clippers. That's the only reasonable explanation for what we just found out happened.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Law Murray joins us. He covers the Clippers for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Law Murray, the NU. Law, when did you know?
Man, you get up this morning in Salt Lake City, and I'm thinking, all right, everyone downplayed everything Monday night when he got hit by Joe Ingles. And, of course, that downplaying was really just a blip into what is just a bad turn here. The news has steadily gotten worse this morning. Hopefully it doesn't continue to get worse, because it can certainly get worse. But yeah, it's been a very crazy game.
How can it get worse than a presumed torn ACL?
Confirmed torn ACL. that's pretty much what it is. I mean, here's the thing. The fear is that it's an ACL injury, and there are different layers of what that injury could be.
Like bone bruise and other stuff and other ligaments and exactly. But the point, I feel bad. The human element is, it's not just Kawhi. At least has won championships before, but I mean, like, for the Clippers, everyone in that organization, like, you go all in and you finally feel like it's the second round of the playoffs. Like, this is the old Clipper curse used to be, and I don't know if you grew up in LA like I did. It used to be that the draft picks would either be a flop or they would get hurt before they ever played for the Clippers, right? Danny Manning, Danny Ferry, like you name it. They had Benoit Benjamin and Michael Olowokandé and all these other busts, and Lancaster Gordon, that were busts, right? But then, you know, once they started getting it going, they had Lob City, the Clipper curse was the second round, and here we are. Again, give me the juxtaposition of two nights ago, okay? You come out and a dominant performance over the Jazz. The juxtaposition of that type of energy and feeling at Staples to now. What is that like as a guy who has covered this team?
I mean, I was in the building. I was right there. I had a pretty good view of that hit that Kawhi took Monday night, but no one was really super concerned in the building. Like, you know, everyone was very excited about how that series has changed from 0-2 again to resetting it. Best of three now. Now, I mean, you're going to go into this building in Salt Lake City again. This is my first time in Utah, so it's a heck of an experience for me personally.
Yeah.
And what you don't want is, and what I don't anticipate from the team, is that they're done. You know, if any team could handle a singular injury, it's the Clippers, because of the regular season that they had, because Kawhi missed 20 games and the team went 11-9 in those games. And not all of those games had Paul George in them. Not all of those games featured rosters that were intending to actually, you know, put their best foot forward. This team has been resilient. So yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's very difficult. It's kind of sad. But in the absolute terms of what they have to do tonight, ain't nobody got time for that. Just, you know, give yourself a chance to still 5-on-5 basketball. Very difficult circumstances. But this team has been there before during the season. They're prepared for it. And I expect them to play like it.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Law Murray joining us, the Athletic Clippers writer. No, I get it. And I was on Salt Lake Radio earlier today, and I said that. Like, look, if there's one team that's learned how to play without Kawhi Leonard, it's the Clippers, because they haven't played for a ton both the past 2 years. And I do think they can win a game, but they're not winning. The NBA championship, it's no longer a conversation. They're not winning two more series without arguably the best or second best player on the planet, are they?
I mean, let's just see what happens with this series, because you look at the rest of the NBA, and you know that you could, if you're the type to feel sorry for teams or situations, you could probably point that out for everybody. You know, I don't think anyone's playing with a full deck right now. The team that looks the healthiest is what, the Atlanta Hawks, and they changed their damn coach in the middle of the season. So this season, this postseason, has been an exercise in adaptability. And as far as the Clippers are concerned, if they can get through this series, then you just got to take the rest of the postseason one game, one series at a time. Obviously, this lowers the ceiling significantly. But all that's rolling for the Clippers right now is tonight and then Friday night, and then we'll see from there.
What does this mean for Kawhi's futures? People know, I mean, potentially could have opted out, right, at the end right. of this year. I would actually argue, and you've seen it, I think Ty Lue has shown himself to be an incredible coach with the adjustments that he's made and the ability to be steady and not freak out when they're down 0-2. But what about Kawhi, their relationship, how he feels about the organization now that it appears he won't play the rest of this season and he's got a major decision potentially to make in the offseason?
Yeah, I think if Kawhi is not healthy, what Kawhi said going into the year shortly after Paul George signed his extension is that if he is healthy, he intends to opt out and to test free agency. Now, that testing free agency did not necessarily mean he's going to leave the Clippers. I mean, he won a championship for crying out loud and left Toronto to come here. He's from here. He wants to be here. You know, that was something that really was the case in San Antonio. You know, I think Kawhi really wanted to invest and be here and with the Clippers and not the other team that plays in the Los Angeles market. So he's not healthy. And if that's the case, then he's probably more likely to opt into that year just to protect himself and to see what kind of rehab. Again, we're getting really far down the line here. And then in the other case of what the Clippers are going to do on the court, they have a first-round pick. They have George under contract, Marcus Morris Sr. under contract. They would know going into the offseason, hopefully, what their situation is as far as what kind of roster they're trying to build to support who is going to be left. Again, we're getting to a lot of things that are in the TBD category, but I think for Kawhi, if he's not healthy, then that probably takes him off of the market. You know, I don't see a scenario where he would opt out and see what happens. I would be surprised if that were the case.
Law Murray, Law, well, listen, we look forward to reading more of your stuff. It's going to be an interesting game. Yes, Salt Lake is, that place is going to be loud tonight, and it'll be fascinating to see how both teams react to this news. Thank you so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, thank you, Doug, for having me. Have a good one.
A pleasure's all mine. Law Murray, read his work in The Athletic at Law Murray, the NU, if you want to follow him on Twitter. A different MVP candidate would rather retire then play for a different team. Real news or fake news? Find out next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. I got a lot to say here, kids. First, I got to tell you, it's your dad's razor, older than you are. Get him something new for Father's Day, a DSC six-blade razor. Is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Kawhi Leonard will be the eighth All-Star to miss at least one game in these playoffs. This is LeBron James on Twitter. They didn't want to listen to me at the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefits our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's a lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars has missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our fave players, it's insane. If there's one person that know about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your fave guys right now. I'm the worst guy to ever be the grammar police. Okay, just for the record, you know, I'm being fair. I misspell things. I'm not that guy, but for 1 second, I'll be that guy because LeBron has, how many million followers does LeBron have?
Yeah. That would be 50 million followers. Wow.
50 million. If you're going to have 50 million followers, like, just have somebody reread it real quick before you press send. I mean, it just, it's not great. Well, we know what he's talking about, right?
Okay. But it's also so you know it's really him saying it, right? That's the old Trump thing. Like, hey, this was really Trump because of all the errors.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I just, you know. I don't know. Not.
I tend to agree with you. It is kind of annoying.
If you're going to have that long a post, at least just get the grammar right, you know? Yeah. Anyway. Okay. I'll get to the vaccine, the protocols, and Chris Paul upcoming. He's out for a period of time here. Kawhi Leonard's out for the year. That's the bigger story, even bigger than KD. Here's the problem with it. Here's the problem with it. There are plenty of control groups, and the control groups will tell us that injuries happen every year. Like, if you want to go like, look at all these injuries, like, okay, the last time we had a champion before COVID, it was the Toronto Raptors taking down the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors lost KD, Kevon Looney, and Klay Thompson. I think there's somebody else who got hurt as well. Do we chalk that one up to what? And I've seen people go like, well, it's because of all of the games that they played in those two previous years. Like, okay. All right. I'm willing at least to listen to that. But look at the NBA playoffs in general. We have injuries all year. Like, this is part of the sport. And it's part of the reason that some of these players have tried to protect themselves with load management. Like, you can say Anthony Davis got hurt, but Anthony Davis missed half the season. He missed half the season. So I'm not really sure how you can totally say that the lack of offseason, which it was hard for the Lakers. I guarantee it was hard. And remember, though, like as much as, and I told this to some of my friends who were in the bubble, they were like, man, the bubble sucked. It was like 2-3 months, depending on how long, well, you did, of being away from your family. Like, yeah, but you had 3 months before that where you were around your family more than you ever possibly could have been. So I don't, I'm sorry, LeBron, like, is a quick turnaround. When Kawhi Leonard's missed so much time the past couple of years and they got bounced in the playoffs early last year in the bubble, is that why Joe Ingles fell on Kawhi's knee to tear his ACL? Like, no. If you want to say James Harden's hamstring is because of COVID, like, or maybe he didn't stay in proper shape, or maybe he just pulled a hamstring. Kyrie Irving sprained an ankle. He missed half the season. He didn't play last year because he had surgery and he never even went to the bubble. Okay, so Kyrie, that's a bullcrap excuse, right? Just is. If we can get to you want to get to the 8 All-Stars? Kawhi Leonard, somebody fell into his knee. If you want to say James Harden is possible, okay, I'll give you James Harden as a 1 possible. Who are the other All-Stars that you want the 8 or 9 All-Stars? Anthony Davis. I guess, but he missed half the regular season. So in terms of time off, didn't he have enough? I'm calling BS on Anthony Davis. Joel Embiid is always hurt. And how deep did they go last year in the playoffs? And he doesn't play the whole season. Calling bull on Joel Embiid, who's missed some games because of a knee, because Joel Embiid's missed games his entire career. I'm calling bull on that one. That's 4. Who are the other All-Stars I'm not thinking of? Okay, you don't have Milwaukee. They have no All-Stars missing. Atlanta has no All-Stars missing. I mentioned the 76ers.
Jamal Murray? Does that count?
Jamal Murray tore his ACL. He landed wrong, tore his ACL. Mike Conley's a hamstring. Conley last year was with the Jazz. Jaylen Brown got hurt. I don't know, man. I mean, guys get hurt. It's sports. So what was the alternative, LeBron? The league would have played less games. You would have had to take less money. Like, no, we're not doing that. Like, okay, then this is what happens. This is what happens. I mean, using Kawhi Leonard, somebody fell into his knee, or using Donovan Mitchell, who sprained an ankle, using Kyrie Irving, sprained an ankle. What are we doing? Like, spraining an ankle has nothing to do with the number of games that you've played. Zero. Zero. Yes, Gavin.
It also seems like it's been magnified because of the all-star players. It's not that it's a record amount of injuries. It's that they were all-stars. And that's just random. That's just people that are playing more minutes, I guess. But it does seem like that magnified it a little bit.
I think it's just social media is just magnified. I think everything becomes, here's what I honestly believe is LeBron's a pretty smart guy, but he's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. He's got people around him that tell him how smart he is. And he doesn't realize historically this happens all the time. Right? Happens all the time. But, you know, plus, like, look at the guys who have gotten hurt for the most part. You know, Mike Conley, he's older. James Harden, he's older. You get in your 30s, you start pulling a hamstring. That's what happens. Yes, Dan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, like the Kyrie Irving injury. I mean, how many times do guys step on someone's foot and twist their ankle? Right. All the time.
All the time. So, I mean, if he thinks that's happened because of this, I don't get it. I don't understand. That's the easy, lazy man's excuse. Lazy man's excuse. Told y'all. Too many games. Anthony Davis missed half the season. Kyrie missed half the season. James Harden missed half the season. You know? I mean, how much time James Harden sat out with a hamstring? Harden, you could just, if you wanted to be a jerk, you can go like, well, hey, it's karma for the Houston thing. Like, neither of these are true. He didn't get hurt because of karma. He didn't get hurt because of COVID. He got hurt because he's in his 30s and he pulled his hamstring. That happens. Whether it's the way in which he stretched or didn't stretch or his lack of flexibility or, you know, the fact that he has a hamstring that's bigger than the butt or his back's tight, whatever, all those things, all those cause you to pull a hamstring.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Chris Broussard joins us, FS1 NBA analyst, Odd Couple host. Great show. It's called The Odd Couple. And first, I want to commend you on something you said, I think on Undisputed yesterday, which is, like, Ty Lue has been awesome. Like, really, really impressive. Yeah. One, handling the disappointing starts to both these series and not freaking out, right? Like, he is, like, you almost want to do the let's put a mirror in front of his nose to make sure he's still alive. But two, the adjustments that he's made. But then you see the news today that Kawhi's out for the year, ain't winning the championship. Isn't it amazing on how all of that will be forgotten because Kawhi got hurt?
No, that's a great point. Because, I mean, let's face it, I think it's a certainty that they're going out in the second round which is what they've always done, right, at best. And that's a great point because, I mean, look, if we want to be optimistic, if Ty Lue somehow just got them to the finals, he deserves an extension, you know. But, nah, I think that's a great point. We're not going to remember it. And you're right. Without Kawhi, Doug, I was on Undisputed yesterday, and I said there was something – this was before we knew James Harden was coming back. And there was something inside of me. I didn't give the Nets much chance without Kyrie or Harden, but I didn't want to go 100%. I thought maybe Durant can just erupt or, you know, Blake can turn back the clock, whatever. But with the Clippers, there is nothing inside of me that tells me they can win this series. They're losing tonight, and maybe if they somehow can win game six, they're definitely losing game seven. But I think they're going down within the next two games, and it's just unfortunate. But, man, I've never seen a season like this, Doug, with these injuries. It is unbelievable.
Okay, LeBron just tweeted out that we didn't listen to him. All these injuries, 8, maybe 9 All-Stars. But then I'm like, all right, if we're real, you know, Joe Ingles fell into Kawhi Leonard. You know, sprained ankles are when you land on somebody's foot.
Right.
What I mean, how much of this do you think is because there was such a shortened offseason for some teams?
I think that has to be some of it, I guess. But I just think in general, Doug, and to be honest, it's not just the NBA. Baseball, the NBA, mainly those two. I mean, football, obviously injuries are just part of that. But baseball and basketball, these injuries seem more and more commonplace. And I think it's several things. I think it's go down to the youth levels. These guys don't play any other sports. They only focus, you know, for the most part. There are a handful here and there. But for the most part, you're playing basketball year-round. You're playing baseball year-round. You're not working other muscles. And then once you get to the pros, you remember when you and I were growing up, Doug, the NBA players would really take the off season off, and then they would use training camp to get back into basketball shape. And I think your body needs that. I mean, with better nutrition, better flight travel, commercial, you know, not commercial flights, but charter ones, better weight training, better coach, like everything is better, better equipment, better shoes, and yet they're getting injured more than ever, it seems. I just think they need to give their body a break for a month or whatever in the offseason and just fully get away from the training. And I think my personal view is that that has something to do with it. And it's just ironic to me that as we've seen all these injuries, then we see a tweet that Damian Lillard or someone else is going to play for, you know, in Tokyo. And I'm just like, I think we need to stop the NBA. The NBA players playing in the Olympics, I'm over it. We've reestablished our supremacy in basketball. Either let the college guys or at least put an age limit, maybe 23 and under or 25 and under you can play in the Olympics. But I just think these guys need to give their bodies a break in the summer.
Okay. I mean, like, I think the part you nailed is it's not just one thing. It's a culmination of things, right? It's like,
right.
I mean, like Kyrie Irving didn't play much of last year because he sat out. So then he had the extra break because of the COVID. Then the bubble, he didn't play. Then he didn't play the whole season this year. Then he sprains his ankle. Like you can, and
right.
He's a guy
you're
that's
right.
been oft
There's
injured.
There's no way you
right.
can say that's due to the short off season.
Right. So right I mean, like that. you're just trying to make a narrative make sense. Okay, let's get to the Chris Paul thing. Do we know if Chris Paul has definitely been vaccinated?
Well, no, but they said he does have COVID. So obviously, you hope he's been vaccinated. My goodness, because then he's really in trouble. But no, I don't know that. If you don't mind, I want to ask you a question, especially as a guy that played point guard at a high level. I thought James Harden was a shell of himself, if even that, right? 1 for 10
right.
and 5 points. But Doug, I thought his presence on the floor was very big for the Nets. I thought he was a ball handler. So Durant didn't need to handle it, but the fourth quarter. They let him do it in the fourth quarter. But for the first three quarters, it was primarily Harden. He made some great passes for backdoor layups to Joe Harris and Durant. And his presence out there for the defense, you got to pay attention to him. But mainly I thought his ball handling, like him running the offense and taking that pressure off Durant, I thought it was huge. Am I overstating that, or no. Do you agree?
No, because and there's also the other element to it, which is, you know, you have to have what's called gravity in the NBA, right? They have to respect you. And you can sit there and go like, I don't think he could go by anybody last night, but I also don't want to be the guy that takes it for granted.
Right.
He hadn't made a shot, but I don't want to be the guy guarding him that where he starts hitting two or three threes. So yeah, he has such respect around the league, you know, and respect from the other team that you, yes, absolutely. And he is a great passer. Absolutely. And adding one more passer and one more guy that can shoot never hurts.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's one of the few guys, Doug, he's one of the few guys I can think of that was an all-time elite scorer and playmaker. Like, he's a great point guard, I believe. He's one of the few we've seen at that all-time elite level at both of those skills.
Okay, are we ready to say that Kevin Durant's the best player in the league?
You know, I like to let it play out, but, I mean, yeah. I mean, if the dude, man, come on. I mean, just the minutes, the fact that he went 48, if we take LeBron out of it, I think Father Time's tapped him on the shoulder. He's still great, but I think he's tapped on the shoulder. Just the fact that Durant went all 48, that separates him from a few other guys in the discussion, Kawhi and Embiid, who will never do that. You can't count on them for that. And then his shooting ability separates him from Giannis, his free throw shooting ability from Luka and Giannis. And, I mean, the dude is phenomenal. I just think he has to do it a little more without – I mean – you know, usually he's always out there with a great cast, especially recently, in recent memory. But even in Oklahoma City. And here's a question, Doug, that I started thinking about today. Westbrook obviously is great in a certain way, right? You got to give him credit for what he's done individually, especially. But you do wonder, did he take away from Durant to some degree? Because Durant... with a really solid type of traditional point guard, you wonder would Durant have done way more with somebody that wasn't as volatile as Westbrook? And yeah. We'll never know. But
yeah, we'll never know. I think what made him want to leave Oklahoma City was if we watch the rest of the league, you got to have space for these guys, right? And if you go back, they had Steven Adams who... like, you just couldn't hide him anywhere because you couldn't play him in the dunker. He couldn't post up. He wasn't a pick and roll guy, you know. So then they had Andre Robertson. So you had two guys that you didn't really have to guard. And then it's not like Russell Westbrook was a tremendous player, but he was a mid-range and go to the rim scorer. So anytime you put the ball on the deck, there's two guys there at least guarding you. Right. Whereas, I mean, look at what the Nets, what the Warriors, you know, what they had around him was space. That's all he wanted, space. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I do think that he took away some from him. He helped him some because he took away some of the pressure off him, but he hurt him some because there was just another guy that they could help off of and essentially double-team Kevin Durant when he put the ball on the deck. Okay, so we don't know about Harden. We don't. Kyrie's not going to play. This next game, at least.
I'm assuming Harden's going to play.
Okay, so what do we think now? Let's look now at the East. Embiid's banged up, but playing. They're in a war with Atlanta. Who comes out of the East as of now?
I think the winner of the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series. Like, I think if Milwaukee wins this because Brooklyn's hurt or whatever, I think they're better than Philadelphia. I don't think... Embiid's grown a little in this realm, but I still think there's some immaturity there. Even if it's just the fact that he may let a little pain, and I'm not just, you know, dismissing his injury. It is a legitimately torn meniscus. But obviously he can play through it. But it seems like mentally that's a struggle for him. Ben Simmons obviously still has his issues as far as just being in attack mode. And so I think Milwaukee beats Philadelphia or Atlanta if Atlanta somehow wins that series. And Brooklyn, if they get past Milwaukee, I mean, if Harden can continue to play, then I think he's going to get better and better. And all they need are two of them. They need either, you know, only need Durant and one of the other stars, and they're the best team in the East. So I'm going to say Brooklyn comes out of the East.
Awesome stuff. Chris, I love your show, and I'm really appreciative of you joining me on mine. Thanks for being our guest on the Doug Gottlieb
Show. All right, Doug. Thanks, brother.
That's Chris Broussard from The Odd Couple, which you can hear 4 to 7 West Coast, 7 to 10 East Coast, here on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. John Hollinger joins us, the Athletic senior NBA writer. There's obviously a ton of stuff going on. Let me start with Kevin Durant. In the pantheon of great playoff pressure field performances, where's that one?
I think that's right up there. I think it's an all-timer. I mean, it was in a second-round game, not a finals game. I guess that's the one distinction you might make. But to me, it's right up there with, like, LeBron's game six in Boston as far as the great performances in recent years that we've seen in a tense playoff environment. Like, we've seen, like, Durant was awesome, like, in, you know, like in game four against Cleveland, for instance, but they won the series 4-0. So it didn't feel as meaningful, right? There wasn't like that tension to it that this game had, where he had to play out of his mind for them to squeak out a victory. And they definitely would have lost if he hadn't done it.
He was amazing. I would, and that's not necessarily you per se, but I would caution so many of our media brethren against the idea of like, the NBA Finals, they mean more? Yes. But is there really more pressure on you? I don't think there is. Like, there's either pressure on you or there's not. If you don't perform, you're going home. I actually, like, you know what I mean? Like it may lack the historical significance of being a finals game, but in reality, there's just as much pressure to win that game as there is if it was the exact same setup in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, that's true. I guess usually you figure you're playing a little bit better team in the finals.
Okay.
Although I'm not sure that that's true in this particular case. I mean, I think Milwaukee, you would say, is probably just as strong a contender as almost anyone else they could face at this point. So I guess that distinction probably goes away a little here. But it's crazy that this feels like it was 6 days ago already because of all the stuff that's happened since then.
Yeah, I do want to get to all that stuff. Let's stick with this for a second. Look, you having worked in the NBA, understanding analytics, when you put Landry Shamet out there, when you have, you know, Landry Shamet and Joe Harris, who led the NBA, shoots 47% from three, right? You put Jeff Green, who made seven threes out there. Like, you start to get to where, like, everybody says, well, why don't you just, you know, double team on the pick and roll? Like, yeah, well, that's because the spacing is such in the NBA, and he's 7 feet tall, he can see over the top. Like, it's really, really hard. And like, don't switch. Like, okay, but they set screens now where you're going to force a switch. If it doesn't work the first time, they just rescreen it. Eventually they force a switch, and that's why there's certain guys you just can't hide defensively. So yeah. I understand all of those parts, but why not, when he brings it up the court, run two at him? And then, you know, don't let him get back. Then he gets it back, run two at him. And just make somebody else make all of the plays when you have one guy so thoroughly and completely dominating the game.
Yeah, That's a really good critique, I think, that that if you run to Adam, one of the things that Durant has struggled with is actually moving off the ball to get the ball. Like, yes. Going back to when
he just stands there and puts
Tony
his hand
Allen, that was, yeah, that was the way Tony would play him. He would just deny his catch, and play him that way. Because once he got the ball, he was too good. Like, he was going to score. And so that's the one thing Milwaukee failed to do. The other thing they could have done in retrospect, and I understand a little bit why they didn't go to this, they should have left James Harden, right? I mean, he was the non-threat out there. I think just there's a understandable reluctance from what James Harden has done in his career to realize that the James Harden that was out there last night was not that player.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But again, that's how the NBA works, right? It's so much based upon reputation more than, you know, it's like, I don't want to leave James Harden. I don't want to guard James Harden because he looks like he can't do anything. But I don't want to find out the hard way that he can still at least catch and shoot. Right?
That's exactly.
That's the problem. How devastating a loss or a series loss with it's one thing to lose to a team with three stars. I think Budenholzer survives then. Boy, I don't know. If you lose to a team that's this beaten up, and I know they don't have DiVincenzo and that changes them, do you think it makes the loss worse if they lose one more in this series and his job gets in trouble?
I don't see how he survives losing this series because the Bucks can't change anything else at this point. You know, they kind of went all in with these three guys. And gave up a lot of future draft assets. So they don't really have the flexibility for future trades to change the roster so much. So at that point, you almost have to change a coach. I mean, we've kind of seen that with a couple of the other coaching moves that we've seen made already, that the guys weren't necessarily unsuccessful, but the teams were in a position where it was the only thing left that they could change.
I want to get to the Kawhi stuff, but I want to leave ourselves enough time because I do want to ask you about the Stan Van Gundy. That deal went sideways in a hurry. This is Stan Van Gundy. That's four different teams now, but this one only lasted a year. Then you got Scottie Brooks, who that thing started out terribly, but as they got healthier, they actually made the playoffs and had a decent season. Did which of these moves that were made today surprised you?
I guess I've been hearing chatter on both of them. The difficulty with Brooks is that his contract had expired.
Yeah.
And I think there were different expectations as to if he came back, what a new contract might look like. So that's almost like a free agency situation. Whereas Van Gundy still had years left on the deal. So it was, we are eating this money to, you know, cause we want you to go away. Which was a much different situation in my mind. That was just sideways from the get-go. And really, I mean, David Griffin has one more shot there, basically, to get this right. And I think his seat starts getting pretty hot.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Did they get the Rookie of the Year right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Edwards came on toward the second half of the year, but you have to look at the full body of work, and then I think even at the end of the year, Edwards, you know, his scoring exploits on some nights were fantastic, but his defense was still consistently pretty bad. And so I think you just look at the overall picture, and LaMelo, to me, had the more impressive year.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I don't believe in curses, right? I don't do voodoo or Santeria or any of this stuff. But I may make one exception, and that's the Clippers. I mean, you know, the Clipper curse used to be that no one wanted to play there or you always got hurt, right? Like, remember, like, Danny Manning gets hurt. Danny Ferry's like, nah, I'm not playing there. You know, They draft Benoit Benjamin and Michael Okonde and Lancaster Gordon and all these other guys that couldn't play. What's that little guard, Randy something from LaSalle? He stunk in the pros. But it became the second round. Like, Chris Paul gets hurt, you know. They had just figured it out. They're going to win the West. And now Kawhi gets hurt. I think a curse, John, is the only possible explanation.
I mean, the game where Corey Brewer and Josh Smith started raining threes, I think that was the turning point where you really started wondering about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, they really had turned Utah's offense, which was such a share the ball, ping, 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 get you in rotation, and had just turned it into this ISO summer league thing, just with all their switching and playing five smalls, and really had them shook up, I thought. But now going into this game without Kawhi, I mean, it takes a key component of that small ball lineup out of there. And then obviously offensively they lose so much without him there. It's all going to fall on Paul George now. I think even with Conley being out, I think Utah has enough to win two of these last three, with two being at home, to advance.
Yeah, I do think that the Clippers, look, if there's any team that's been able to play without a star, they played, you know, last 2 years at times without him. I know it's a different roster for the most part. And sometimes you do get a little bit of a bump where Utah's now got to figure out, the Clippers are playing differently. They got to figure it out. So I actually think they got probably a better chance tonight, maybe, even though they got to be devastated tonight, than they do as Utah figures out what they're throwing out there. But the thoughts of winning a championship have left the building.
I would say so. Unless, I mean, the only way to win a championship now is if this cascade of injuries goes like several levels deeper.
Okay, let's talk about it. Chris Paul thing. What does the league do? Right, like, especially if it's been reported by several people he's been vaccinated. Like, what do they do in terms of letting him play? The whole world's opening up, and we're told, like, what's the point of being vaccinated if you can still get it, and now you still get shut down for the same amount of time?
Yeah, well, theoretically, his return to play would be quicker. And he would, from my understanding, he would only need to test negative twice, and then he'd be okay since he's been vaccinated. There's a longer process if you haven't been. And presumably, because he's been vaccinated, his positivity would run its course much more quickly. We'll see if that turns out to be the case. So, ultimately, I think there's still a decent hope that he either doesn't miss any time or maybe only misses one game or two at the most. And I think the other thing, obviously, for Phoenix, you're really hoping that Clippers-Jazz goes seven, because it'll push back the start of the West Finals 2 days, and that'll give him more time to test clean.
Craziness. LeBron came out with a lengthy piece saying, basically, I told you so. You know, I'll just, without paraphrasing, all these injuries are because we didn't have much of an offseason. My issue with it is, like, Joe Ingles fell into Kawhi Leonard. That's how he hurt his knee, right? Hamstring pulls. I mean, Chris Paul's had a hamstring pull with the Clippers and with the Rockets. Ankle injuries, they just happen in basketball. And we go 2 years ago, the Warriors all broke down, but the story of that year in the playoffs, you know, or Kyrie has gotten hurt multiple. Like, it does feel like we're using this. It's like confirmation bias, something we thought could happen. Guys get hurt, but they get hurt every year, don't they?
It's always tough to prove what caused an injury. Was it the minutes? Was it the rest? Would it have happened anyway? The other obvious thing is that this is the thing the players agreed to too. And they agreed to it for the same reason the owners agreed to it, which was the money, right?
Right, right?
I mean, they would have been leaving a lot of money on the table to start the season later. And then it would have set up the inevitable question, well, now you have an even shorter offseason when you go into next year in 21-22. So the NBA was just dealing with a lot of really imperfect solutions. Once the pandemic hit and you're finishing a season in autumn, you know, to start the next season and try to get your calendar back to something normal within a reasonable time frame, you're shortening the off season like an accordion. That's all you can do. I mean, there's no place else you can take the time from.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so based upon the information we have now, Who's going to win this? Like, I guess Phoenix, you'd think they're going to be the healthiest. Utah doesn't have Mike Conley, but Utah healthy is, I mean, that'll be a fascinating series. Who do you like as of now?
Is it crazy to say the Milwaukee Bucks?
No.
The Nets had to have some real magic happen to pull that game out, right? But can they win one of the next two without Kyrie and with Harden being whatever he is right now. And then you go forward into the next round, Philadelphia, Joel Embiid looks diminished, or you're playing Atlanta, who is a good team, but a team that Milwaukee or Brooklyn should expect to be. And then you get to the final. I think that's interesting in the finals, but I think Utah, Phoenix maybe don't present some of the problems for the Bucks that Brooklyn does. So I actually think, as crazy as it sounds after last night, the Bucks could be in much better shape had they won that game. But I mean, they're still not out of it, as crazy it is to say. And as much as we're dunking on Mike Budenholzer today, like, they could still very easily win this thing.
I don't know if very easily, right? We just don't know about Kyrie, right? That Kyrie is the ultimate. As we expected, Kyrie's the ultimate wild card. And now we just didn't know because of injury. Well, maybe we should have. Last thing, Donnie Nelson gets the boot. This is 2 days after the Athletic, who you work for, had a kind of a piece that gave us a little bit of insight into what might be going on, seems to be going on in the front office with the Dallas Mavericks. What's your reaction to Donnie getting the boot?
Yeah, I was surprised by that, just because Mark Cuban has had a Nelson running his team for the entire quarter century that he's owned the Mavericks. So what happens now? You know, that's going to be really interesting, just how the whole front office dynamic works there, because it's going to change a lot no matter who they bring in. And there's a lot of kind of interesting moving parts here about what this means for how the Mavs are run going forward. You know, there's innuendos that maybe Luka isn't happy or whatever, and obviously he's an important piece of what they're doing. It's going to be a really interesting offseason in Dallas, and some big decisions to be made too. I mean, they have cap room, Hardaway's a free agent, they got to decide what to do with Porzingis. Like, they're facing some really tough choices.
John, great stuff. It's a crazy day. Can't wait to read your next piece. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show, Doug.
John Hollinger. I am, like, look, the NBA, sometimes it's like imagine made up off-season drama. Like, this is basketball stuff and injuries and GM. Like, this stuff is real and it's great. It's fun to follow.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.